Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Mole in Hell. My name is Chaos Mole, and today we are talking about the Diablo 4 beta. And the idea of this podcast is basically to just talk about everything Diablo 4. I have been playing now the beta for the whole weekend from Friday to Sunday, and it was a treat. It was really good. I enjoyed it. There's a lot to talk about. There are a few things I do not enjoy, but all things considered, it was a pretty fun thing to do, and I'm looking forward to the next weekend when the new beta is coming out with the two remaining classes, and we'll see how that goes. But yeah, the plan for this podcast is pretty simple. I want to do this on a probably bi-weekly episode, maybe when we are getting a little bit closer to a release, on a weekly episode or something like that. But bi-weekly is what I'm planning, especially because we will have 3 months of nothingness in between the betas and the release. And, well, that's quite a bit. So we have to find, like, a good balance. Maybe I'm slowing it down to once a month, but we have to see, really. But yeah, that's my plan, that I want to do this podcast as long as possible. You will find it here on my YouTube channel. And then, of course, you will find quite a bit more of Diablo 4 videos down the line. And maybe later in the year, I'm also planning to do something regarding the Starfield release. Yeah, that's definitely also a game where there should be quite a bit of fun stuff going on. But let's talk about Diablo 4, shall we? Well, not quite. There's one last thing. Please don't forget to like the podcast and subscribe to the channel if you want to hear more podcasts and if you want to see more RPG content and especially Diablo 4 content here. Thank you for that. But now, let's get to it. So, how was the beta for Diablo 4? Well, better than the Diablo 3 beta, I can tell you that. The Diablo 3 beta was horrible. I mean, Diablo 3 was just... Diablo 3 was just not great, right? Especially when you came from Diablo 2, you really hoped for the next step in the Diablo series, and you just didn't really get that, I felt. Now, yes, Diablo 4 feels good. Again, there's a lot to discuss, but it is definitely better than Diablo 3, does a few things different, but it is still very similar to what you would get now in Diablo 3 if you log in. So the next question is, will this replace Path of Exile, Last Epoch, or even Grim Dawn? And the answer is no. No, it won't. Especially when it comes to complexity. Diablo 4 is miles behind in comparison to a PoE. PoE is a very complex, convoluted, and sometimes unnecessary confusing game for newcomers. Like, I know there are so many PoE players, I can already see in the comments writing, "What? No. What? PoE is easy." And you look at the playtime and it's like 2,000 hours and you are like, yeah, I would probably say the same at the same point. But no, it isn't. For beginners, like I have over 1,000 hours probably in PoE, but for beginners, it's not. And Diablo 4 makes it really easy to jump in. Well, actually, it's not that easy in the beta. There are definitely some classes who have it really hard in the beta, at least the three classes we had at the beginning, and then some others where it is just a walk in the park, depending on how you skill. So there's definitely some you have to think about what you were doing kind of type going on, but it's not very in-depth. Like, when you open up the talent tree, your first thought is, wait, that's it? That's the talent tree I'm getting? Whoa, that's not that much. And then you realize, well, they are doing a lot of things outside of the talent trees, plus the paragon trees, plus the class specializations. And yes, like Diablo 3, they're managing most of your skill set and most of your power spikes through legendary slash uniques. That's what they are doing. So if you hated that, like really, really hated that in Diablo 3, you will hate Diablo 4 because it will be the same thing. For me personally, I never minded, but it becomes clear that no matter which class you are playing, in the end you have 4 skill choices, right? Like let's take the mage or the sorcerer, right? And the Sorg has basically fire, ice, electro, and then melee electro damage. So they have a melee build, a range electro damage, fire, which is the dot build, and ice, which is the CC vulnerability skill. And every class has that. It's a bit crazy how you spot similarities between the classes, how they play, how they feel. Like as I said, the Sorg, fire, is mostly dots, right? Where the Barb has also a dot build, but that's bleeding. And then you have the Rogue, who has also a dot build, but that's poison. And so every class has those relatively similar builds, but they just look different and feel a little bit different, but in the end, they do the same thing. And that's really the moment where I thought, really? I mean, that's all? And you don't have choices. When you are choosing to go with a certain skill, you go all in on that skill, and then you can basically master the skill, right? Like you have the skill itself, and then you have 3 master points. And the first one you have to take, no matter what, and then you come to a crossroad where you can left or right, where you can go left or right, and you have to choose which of the two you want to go with. And that's it, though. There's really no choices. I would even go so far to say that there's less choices than Diablo 3, which is kind of crazy because that was definitely one of the things people complained about a lot, right? This, hey, you want choices? Well, not in Diablo 3, go play Path of Exile. And it's kind of insane to me that they are doing the same thing again with Diablo 4. Now, granted, as I said before, they didn't unlock the Paragon level. The Paragon level is, and the Paragon talent trees are not unlocked. And that's cool. We have already seen some data mine Paragon trees, and they look really in depth, right? But it's mostly passives and stats increase and all that. And it's not really utilize your skills. This is one of the things I really love about Last Epoch, is the whole idea of here's a skill, right? You choose a skill, bam, that skill has a talent tree. You choose the next skill, that skill has a talent tree. Like every skill has their own talent tree in Last Epoch, and those talent trees can change the skill dramatically. And I'm not saying that Diablo should copy that. By the way, they should. But I'm not saying that. My point is, in comparison, Diablo 4 definitely, they just cannot keep up with that. They fall short, you know. I definitely fall short on that. And yeah, it's just, I wished a little bit more when it comes to customization. But let's talk a little bit about some good things. I know this sounds like, wow, you have a lot of bad things to say about Diablo 4. No. First of all, the graphics, fantastic. They look really good, really detailed. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Animations are top-notch. The sound, like you feel the oomph of the abilities. I know that some people back in the day said, you know what, the changes of Diablo 4, right, the changes of Diablo 4 to Diablo 3, yeah, that's whatever. And they said the same thing to Diablo 2 to Diablo 3 when it came to the graphics. It's this, oh yeah, so they changed to relatively dark, grim, realistic graphics to those World of Warcraft graphics, and people defended it as, oh, you know what? It's not that bad. It's not a big deal. I think it was a pretty big deal. I ignored it because for me, the gameplay was the most important part, right? But it never clicked with me. It never fully clicked with me. So the best example for this I can always give is, think about Dark Souls. Think about Elden Ring, Demon Souls. Like, From Software has a very gritty, grayish brown art style. They have some colors in the games, right? But it is this very gothic, dark, grim art style they're going with in the end. And then they announce Elden Ring 2, and it will be World of Warcraft graphics. I think a lot of people would hate it, but they would say, hey, you know, as long as the gameplay is good, I can ignore that. The problem of Diablo 3 was, of course, that even the gameplay wasn't good, especially not at the beginning. So again, Diablo 4 absolutely nailed the world design, the monster design. The story is actually really good. The cutscenes are really good. The voice acting is spot on. There is so much positive to say about just the art, the music, the sound, how the characters feel, how they move. Like, it all feels really, really good, you know. And the same goes with, like, the events. I really like the events. I actually like the events more than, like, the dungeons. The dungeons, they feel a little bit unambitioned right now. It's the same thing. Like, you go into the dungeon, you have to kill everything, or you have to collect something, or you have to find a key, right? And then you're unlocking the last boss room, and all the bosses are very similar to each other, right? And yeah, the dungeons, not so much. I think they're okay. Also, the bosses feel very underwhelming. Now, granted, Blizzard said that in the end game, you can, like, upgrade the dungeons, and that's where the real game begins, right? Whereas the world events, they just stay the same. But I really like the world events because they're different, there are other things to do, and other players can just join you, and it's a fun time. World boss. We did the world boss. I was completely underleveled, and I would say I still carried the shit out of that fight, and we barely managed the world boss with, what was it, 4 seconds left on the timer. And that boss fight was really fun. It was really, really fun. Enjoyed it. Like, world bosses, great. Gave you a lot of loot. Even a little bit too much, you would nearly say. But it felt just great. And you had to think regarding the world bosses. The quests are also pretty fine. Main quests and side quests. They try to create some memorable side quests. There's this one side quest where you have to find an axe, right? And then you finish that quest and you think, all right, I'm done here, right? You aren't. Like, the story continues, and while you're walking through the whole first area, the quest is coming back to you with the next step. And it becomes really dark and gritty. Like, I really, really enjoyed what they did with that side quest. It was pretty cool, right? And yeah, like, again, that feels awesome. What doesn't feel awesome and needs some real hard work before the release is the font. Yes, the text font on everything. It looks horrendous. Like, somebody opened up Microsoft Word, found Arial Black, and was like, yeah, let's do that. It looks horrendous. Which is kind of funny, because there is a Diablo font, and they're not using that for whatever reason. Weird. Another thing I definitely don't like is the interface. My God. That interface is so designed for consoles in mind. Like, you are not allowed to have a lot of button presses. Moving with the mouse feels awkward, sometimes even unnecessarily convoluted. Going through multiple menus is clearly made for the tap system of the controller. When you want to get your challenges, right, you have to open up your map. Then you have to hit the W button. And then you can choose the rewards you want to give your character after you have pushed the reward system. And it's this, wait, what? Why so many steps? Weird. Absolutely weird. Same goes for, like, putting abilities on your bar. And yeah, controller in mind. Anything else? All right, let's talk about the classes a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the classes here. So, classes. I think in the end, you will find the class you enjoy the most, right? And then you would just go with it. But there are definitely classes. I have seen a lot of people complaining about the barb, because the barb is too weak and feels really shitty. And you know what? Yeah, it does. At the beginning, for the first 10 level, I was this close to just play something else and don't enjoy the barb playing with my body at all. It felt awkward, kind of shit, and you were not that tanky, because Blizzard completely removed Life Leech as we know it from the game. So, you know, in every action RPG, what you are doing is you are putting Life Leech on your character, and that's how you basically keep yourself alive, right? Doesn't happen anymore in Diablo. It's not there. There is some minor Life Leech here and there. Under certain circumstances, you can get some life back. But It's not the traditional life leech, and the stat itself doesn't exist anymore. However, I feel like everyone is looking for that when they are playing the barb for the first time because they are used to it, right? When you whirlwind through the enemies, or you use like berserker stance and you are just like slashing the enemy into pieces, you look for this, okay, where's my life leech? Till you realize there is none. It's funny. And then you have to adjust. You have to adjust your playstyle. So I was running around then with some Berserker upheaval gameplay, which was really good. So I activated all my damage buffs and I could deliver a lot of burst damage. And then later I was switching over to some Thorn Bleeding build, right? Thorn Bleeding build was the thing I would do then. And that was also really fun. So the idea is, if you have never built a Thorn build, enemies attack you, and they basically hit themselves. Like, you can constantly say, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself, while the enemy is killing themselves and you put some bleeding on them, right? So that was really fun. I really enjoyed that. And it did a lot of damage. But yeah, as I said, you kinda have to rethink how you play the barb. And the barb needs weapon. The barb needs four weapons to function, right? Your two one-handed weapons, your two-handed sword, and your mace. And you need some good stuff on there. But that also means when you have four legendaries, no other class can carry, you are getting an insane amount of perks. It's insane later on. But, as I said, you have to work for that. You're not getting that right from the beginning. Right, whether Sorg is scaling pretty hard with her abilities, the barb needs good mixture of that. Yeah. But classes feel alright. I have to see the Necro and especially the Druid. Very curious about that. I would say, funny enough, the weirdest class to me was the Rogue. The Rogue was just weird. Absolutely weird. It's this hybrid of doing range damage, doing melee damage. Yes, I know. I know. The Rogue can focus on one thing. But it feels a bit weird. And then they have so this is the weirdest part. Every class is kinda defining what they would go for with the basic attack. Right? Like with the Sorg. You get a fire attack which will put dots on the enemy. You get a freeze attack. You get a long range burst attack as electricity, or you get a melee electricity thingy, right? And then you build on that. Let's say you use the, what is it, Arc Lightning, I think it's called. It's the melee electricity attack. Then in the second slot, you will go for the same thing again. you were put in the charged bolt, and the charged bolts are like your shotgun, right? Like you were building on a melee DPS shotgun build, and you start with your left click. And I'm so sorry, I just hit my microphone. We'll try to fix that. Let's see if that not happens. Yeah, we'll try to fix that. Sorry for that. If you still hear it slightly, truly sorry for that. But going back to the Rogue has one starting ability, which gives you a throwing dagger, a throwing knife. And you think, a throwing dagger, knife wielding rogue. That sounds interesting. Yeah, till you realize that's the only ability which really utilizes that. Every ability coming afterwards in the other trees is just bows or melee attacks. It's like, wait, what? Why do you give me throwing knives when you are not building on that? Every other class does that. They build on something. The rogue does not. And it confuses the hell out of me. It totally does. So, yeah. I was kind of excited to play the rogue in the beta. Now that I've played the rogue, especially for PvP purposes, or, well, preparing for PvP purposes, because there is no PvP in the beta, which sucks absolutely, and we will talk about that in another episode. The rogue feels weird. Like, they really... I would laugh if at some point we are finding out that the rogue was actually two classes and they just fused it together. Right? I would totally laugh if that is the case. But it feels good. Like, in the end, with everything I'm saying, with everything I'm complaining about, it's this Diablo 4 feels like quality. It feels good. And I hope that the issues we saw, keep in mind, we only played till level 25, we only saw one territory, only one world boss. Blizzard has done this multiple times before, and it always backfired. So I'm expecting the same thing for Diablo 4 in the end. But it feels good. There's quality everywhere. It's not fully polished yet. They have to do that. But it is quality in the end. So, I'm looking forward to the next beta weekend. And by the way, this is the last thing I will say, and then we are wrapping it up. The Paladin is coming. Holy moly. Like, I was in a mission with an NPC, and that NPC was literally a paladin with paladin abilities helping me out. And I was like, what the hell am I looking at here? Like, are you serious? Like, this is the biggest on-the-nose thing where I'm fully expecting to see the paladin as a player character in the first or second patch when the game is coming out. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next beta next weekend, and then we will be back with another podcast on that. In between, there will be quite a bit of videos here on the channel, so if you want to check them out, don't forget to subscribe, and make sure that you are back for the second episode of Mole in Hell next week. With that said, thank you so much for watching, stay safe, and I'll see you next week in hell. Bye-bye.